and praise the Lord. Everyone, would you be so kind to stand in honor of the man of God, the missionary, a couple that we have today, brother and sister Brian. These are very, very valuable people to the United Pentecostal Church. They have been missionaries for 20 years, 12 years in the country of Haiti. In the country of, yes, give them a great big hand. Praise God. In the country of Haiti, we have 567 churches. 60,000 constituents there. Last year, they had 16,704 new births. Praise God. Isn't that great? This is what we're going to do. Brother and Sister Brian will come. They'll make a presentation. And then I want to take a special offering for them. Now, they do have some special projects. I think Sister Brian is going over some of those. We do not sponsor them in our missions program. It would be nice if we could take them on as a partner in mission. So if God speaks to your heart, make sure that when we take our offering that you somehow denote that on a piece of paper and put it in the offering plate, because we would really like to pick them up as missionary partners. So we'd like for Brother Brian to come at this time. Give him a great big warm Wisconsin welcome. God bless you, Brother Brian. Take your liberty.
Thank you, Bishop. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. God is good all the time, isn't he? Oh, let's put our hands together for a God that's good all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. If you've got a need this morning, you've come to the right place. Amen. If you need a healing, amen, the doctor's in the house. If you need salvation, the Savior is here. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that's alive and well? Amen. May the Lord bless you. May you be seated. It is a privilege today to be with you. I give honor to the pastors. God bless you. Thank you, Elder. And I pray, Elder, that when I hand off what y'all have given to me, that I hand off just the pure thing that y'all have handed to us. I give God thanks for our elders. Amen. May God bless our bishop today. God has been good to us the last, let me tell you a little bit about missionaries. Our life kind of goes in four-year segments. Every 4 years we come off the field and we deputize and then we go back. But we've been doing this now, as your bishop said, for 20 years. The term before this one, it was rough in Haiti. The crime was bad. I think that we were shot at point blank range, just as close to me to you, about five times. They also tried to kidnap me and my wife. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But it was bad. But this last term, things got a lot better. I was only shot at once. Hey, when you go from five down to one, that's a good thing, let me tell you. It was on a Sunday morning about 11 o'clock. We was pulling into a place called City Sule, Sun City. Now, if you look it up on the internet, it's going to tell you don't go there. But I'm the missionary superintendent, and I have a church here, so we have to go. And as I was pulling into town, there was about four or five guys standing off beside the road. And as I came up real close to them, they just walked out in the middle of the road. And when I got super close to them, they just lifted their guns and pointed them at us. And someone said, what did they want? I apologize, I didn't stop to ask them. I paused for a second, and then I floored the car, and as I began to go through the middle of them, they just started bam, 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 and all of a sudden, my wife is, she's sitting next to me, okay? She's the spiritual one. I'm driving. She's talking in tongues. She's talking in tongues. I look in the back, and I've got an aimer there, and his eyes got about that big around. He'd never been shot at, and I had two Asian pastors on both sides of him. I don't know where they went. I think they went underneath the car seat. But as I got through them and I got down the road a little bit, I pulled over a couple miles. I pulled over and I looked at the car and there was not one bullet hole. I got back in the car and I told everyone, hey, they didn't hit us. And the aimer guy, he said, look, he's from a small country town and he likes his guns, okay? He said, I've shot too many signs. I know what it sounds like when a bullet hits metal and you was hit. We got home. He spent 30 minutes trying to find that bullet hole. He looked underneath the car. He looked all around and looked at the tires. There wasn't anything. Finally, he came back inside. He said, look, Brother Brian, your guardian angels are made out of metal. They stopped that bullet, and I heard it hit him. Needless to say, he got religion again. He said, I tell you what, I don't know what scared me most. I thought, anything more than that? He said, I don't know what scared me most, being shot at or your wife talking in tongues so quick. He said, I didn't know that somebody could just start getting a hold of God that quick. Let me tell you, on this Sunday morning, it doesn't matter what you need. Amen. God is here. It doesn't take a 45-minute prayer meeting. It doesn't take an hour-long prayer meeting. Call on the name of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, before you walk out that door today, God's going to supply that need. One more time, put your hands together for him. God knows what you needed before you even got up this morning. Before you walked in the door, God knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your home. And he says, if you'll allow me to, I'm going to take care of that. We serve an awesome God. He is worthy of our praise. Let me share one more quick miracle with you, if I could. It's nothing short of a miracle how an ugly man like me can get a beautiful wife. It's true. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I was talking to my son before service, and I told him, I said, son, I've got to go. I've got to leave in 45 minutes. I've got 45 minutes to get beautiful for church. He said, Dad, you're going to be late. I am so glad to have my beautiful wife. Amen. I'd like for her to come greet you.
Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. I appreciate his goodness and his mercy. And it is sure feels good in the house today, doesn't it? I love that song. I don't think I've ever heard that like bridge that you all did with that song about step in, step in, step in. I love that. Let's just step on in it today. Sometimes I think we just try to hold back a little bit, and there's just no reason to hold back. Let's just get all the way in today and let him bless us and fill us with his presence, and just gears you up for the week. Amen? There's just a few things that I am supposed to talk about and do up here, and sometimes I get a little carried away, and my husband tells me I almost preach. I'm not supposed to preach. And he reminds me of that occasionally. If I take too long, he starts clearing his throat. That's okay. Just ignore him, because I'm going to. But it is good to be with you. There are a few things that I am supposed to talk about, so I will do that, and a couple of things I'm supposed to do. The first thing is, you know, it's always good for wise men to come bearing gifts. Do you know this to be true? You're supposed to, you know, butter somebody up a little bit, right? So I have a thank you gift I'm going to give this to, and just bear with me for a moment. I'm headed back here to Sister Grant, and I am going to say thank you. We always thank the pastors, but we don't always take time to thank the pastor's wives. And we know that even though they're the head, there's a neck that turns the head. Thank you also, pastors, for allowing us to come. And I hope that my husband gave you a brochure. You did your job. You're not in trouble. I don't get to hit him later. That is, that has just a brochure that has a little bit about us. It has a refrigerator magnet. That's you all's thank you gift for allowing us to come. And it has that little yellow piece of paper. You know what that's all about, right? That, does everybody know what the little yellow piece of paper is all about? Because that's how you sponsor us on a monthly basis. And your bishop has already told you that you're not already partners. So if anybody just feels the urge today to get involved with the work in Haiti, please encourage them to sign that little yellow piece of paper and give it back to me, because we're kind of Indian givers. We give you those in your packets, but we really would like to take one home with us. So we would appreciate your help. If you can encourage your pastors to do that for us, it would be greatly appreciated. There's another way that you can help us, and that is through a one-time offering. We have several projects that we're raising money for. One of them is listed on our green sheet as evangelism. How many of you, I know that I've already been at several outreaches through this church, so I know that this church understands what evangelism is all about. And sometimes it's about feeding the thousands, and sometimes it's about just sitting around a table with somebody. Well, in our case, about 3 years ago, we were presented with an opportunity to do something for the children in Haiti. And what our idea was to build a playground on our property. And so we put in swings and slides and just made a playground on our property. And every afternoon from 4 to 6, we open our gates to any of the neighborhood kids that want to come. Sometimes they come from as far away as a mile or two that they walk in to come and play in our playground. And it's our way of reaching our community. It's our way of making sure that community understands that there is a Jesus and that he loves them, and that it doesn't matter what their house looks like or whether or not they have a concrete floor or a dirt floor. It doesn't matter how much food they have in their cupboards, that Jesus loves them. And so we open our gates to these about 75 kids that come and play. But that is just one of our children's ministries. We also have evangelism in a community we call the Fishing Village. You'll see pictures of that. The houses are nothing more than sticks that are put together with mud. And that is not an exaggeration. When you get out of your vehicle in the Fishing Village, it's like you've stepped out of your life and you've walked into the pages of a National Geographic magazine. And that is just what it is all about. And so we evangelize in that area. We have Bible school students that go in every Saturday and have service with that. And so there are many ways we do evangelism. We also do crusades. But if you would like to help us with that evangelism effort, there is a way that you can do that through a project. There's also some blocks out on the table that if you would like to help us to build in Haiti, we say that we're building Haiti one block at a time. It takes about $10,000 to build a church. Does anybody have $10,000 laying around you don't know what to do with? No? Well, that's okay, because In Haiti, we say piti piti wazu fenishi. In English, you would say a little by little the bird builds its nest. Maybe you don't have $10,000 and you can't buy all of the bricks to build a building, but if you would like to give $5 or more towards a block, you can take a block home and you can feel like that you have made a difference in Haiti, and we are building Haiti one block at a time. If you're interested in any of those, please see me after service. It would be greatly appreciated. I also have some things for sale back there. Just stop by the table and visit with me. God bless you.
Truly, God has kept his hand on us this last term. Everybody heard about the earthquake 4 years ago and the damage that it caused. We had over $100,000 damage at our Bible school complex. But today you will see how God has blessed and ministered there. Now we have 63 young men training to be ministers of the gospel, and I give God thanks for that. Amen. And at this point, we're going to show you a short presentation of the work, and at the end of it shows a little bit about our kids. It's a feeding program we have going for the orphanages.
On January 12, 2010, a 7.3 earthquake shook the nation of Haiti. In 40 seconds, the lives of an entire nation were devastated. The people were in shock. An estimated 298,000 people lost their lives. Many of our pastors lost their homes. 1.5 million people were displaced and living in tents. Desperation, shock, and despair were evident on everyone's face.
Following the earthquake, we were overwhelmed as we dealt with the aftermath of the destruction. In prayer, God gave my husband a word of comfort. He impressed to us that if we worked during the daylight hours, he would give us strength for the task ahead. The next 12 months were filled with a time of healing, comfort, and compassion. The demonstration of love and support from the North American Church helped to heal the hearts of the Haitian people.
Amen.
Today I bring you hope. Today I bring you Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you don't know him, before you leave here, you need to repent of your sins. Amen. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost again. Because your hope is in him.
Amen.
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 Following the earthquake, there was a time of great awakening. Thousands were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The United Pentecostal Church of Haiti continues to experience growth and revival.
United Pentecostal Church of Haiti has a unique opportunity to reach their youth. Because there are very few public schools, churches are encouraged by the government to educate their children. Education is a vital part of the ministry of the church. The majority of the United Pentecostal Church of Haiti's 500-plus churches have schools. These schools not only teach basic curriculum, but also teach biblical principles. We have established a child sponsorship program to help alleviate the expenses and make a Bible-based education possible for thousands of children that would otherwise not be able to attend school. Please ask us how you can make a difference in a child's life through education. Kids ministry led to a more active involvement in the community. A visit to an orphanage that was literally a stone's throw away from the headquarters complex where a little boy had starved to death brought James 1:27 to life for us. In the past 3 years, we have purposed to live out pure religion for Haiti. We're no longer content with just revival and church statistics. We are ministering daily to the fatherless and widows. Up to now, we have been filling the gap in the lives of over 400 orphans and children, but our dream and vision for these children is much greater.
Praise God. And we'd like for the ushers to come at this time. Some of the special projects that the Bryans need money for, of course, the child sponsorship. They do not have an amount on this. It's just unlimited, the funds that are needed. So if you can give money for that. Evangelism, they need $22,400. Bible school computer lab, $5,600. Office equipment, duplicator, $11,200. Bible school construction, $44,800. Building funds, they need $107,520. Headquarters complex renovation, $22,400. For land, they need $44,800. Now, this is a lot of money and a lot of needs. And every place they go, these needs are presented. And hopefully, before they get their deputation completed, they will have all of these funds. So you may not be able to give a $40,000 check. I mean, if you can, that'd be great. But on the other hand, if you're not able to, give any amount that you can. And designate on your check what the money is for. And then, of course, the remaining offering that's not designated will go to Brother and Sister Brian. These people have given their life in a country that is very, very poverty-stricken. And, of course, they live there among the people and become one with them. So we want to pray. And if God moves on your heart to help sponsor them, make sure that you designate that you'd like to give so much a month to the Bryans. And we'll do this again in our service tonight. But obviously not all of you will be in the service tonight. But to do that this morning if you possibly can. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you, Lord, for moving upon our hearts this very day. And I thank you, God, for talking to us about these special needs. The children's fund, oh God. See, all of these children that need help, God. And so much is needed for evangelism and for Bible school and for land and construction and for the headquarters building and such. And then, of course, for our missionary and his wife for their livelihood. I pray, God, move upon us. Everything we have, God, belongs to you. And I'm praying, God, that we submit to you because we understand, Lord, that you can come down and pull rank on us anytime you so desire because everything that we have actually belongs to you. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this offering In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give.
More time. Thanks today for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for the spirit that you've put inside of us, Lord, the calling. Lord, I pray today that you would move upon each one of us. Lord, for those that need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, God, I pray that you'd fill them. Lord, those that need a touch, those that need healing, God, Lord, let it be done for your glory. And the church said, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. Amen. We'll be reading verse 2 and 3, and also Psalms chapter 27, verse 4 and 5. Again, I give honor to your ministerial staff, your pastors, and also my host. I don't see Mom and Dad here yet. Amen. But we do thank them for opening their home. They've been taking care of me. Took me to the farmer's market. Wow, that was fun. Had a good time. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire of him. For he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we did hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Psalms chapter 27, verse 4 and 5 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For this is the time of trouble, and he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up on a rock. Isaiah says that there is no beauty to be found in him, but the psalmist says to behold the beauty of the Lord. Is this a contradictory in scripture? I don't believe so, but I believe today that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Amen. Before you're seated, shake somebody's hand and tell them how great they look. Don't lie, we are in church though. Beauty in the eyes of the beholder. Now, when you start talking about someone not looking good, I'm a fine one to be talking. I know the territory. I was working one time at a factory after when we were first getting married, and I was sitting at the aisleway in the factory where you had to walk in, you know, and punch that little clock thing you used to do. And I was sitting there, and there was this guy that came walking up, and, well, to be honest with you, it looked like he had fallen out of an ugly tree and hit every branch. I mean, and a little bit later, I noticed, you know, a few weeks later, there's a lady that came by, and, well, she climbed the same tree. And the same tree did the same thing to her. But, you know, several months went by, and I looked up one day, and lo and behold, there was this guy, the same guy and the same gal, they was walking arm in arm. Walking down through there, and they had fallen in love and gotten married. Now, I am confident that if you was to ask her, ma'am, do you think your husband is ugly? He would say, well, I hope my wife says no, but I'm confident that he would say, no, I think that my husband is beautiful. That is simply because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Let me take you to the tabernacle in the wilderness. God gave Moses a plan on how it should be constructed. Everything about it, from the curtains to the material, each piece of furniture in the temple, God told them how to make it. Whether it was made of wood overlaid in gold, or some of them made out of solid gold on the inside, you have the veils and the coverings that was very beautiful, made out of fine linen. And I'm sure that as you went in, it was very nice. But you see, on the outside, the Bible tells us that it was covered with badger skin. I'm sure that there was those that walked by and wondered, I wonder why on earth those people carry that ugly tent everywhere they go. Look at all the blood on the outside of that thing. Don't they know they could do a lot better than that? But let me tell you, they hadn't been on the inside. Because to find the beauty, you had to come on the inside. Let me tell you, church, I'm glad to be a one God tongue talking holy roller. Born again, heaven bound, believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. But let me tell you what happened one day. Ron Bryan came from the outside of the church, and Ron Bryan came on the inside. If you want to find the beauty of the church, quit hanging around the outside. I said, if you want to find the beauty of the church, you've got to come on the inside and find yourself at an altar of repentance and give your life to God and let God take that sin and wash it away. People on the outside, boy, they don't understand it. Why on earth would a church have a Monday outreach? Why would you have a Wednesday service, a Thursday, a Wednesday? I bet y'all have something going every day. It's awesome. What happened? I tell you what, someone came on the inside of the church. They found out what really being Christian's all about. And when you come on the inside, you can't get enough of this thing because you found the beauty of it. I know there's people, they look at the church and they say, oh, it's nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations. A bunch of hypocrites go there. Well, I hope so. We got to deliver somebody. The hospital wasn't made for well people. Oh, hello. I said the hospital wasn't made for people, all right. It's made for people that's sick. Let me tell you, you've come to the right place. If you've got a problem, you've come to the inside of the church. On the inside of the church, people look at it. They say, oh, that church has been through a lot. Yeah. Gone through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn us. We've been through the storm, but the storm can rock us. I'm talking about the church triumphant, and the church is alive and well. It may not be so pretty on the outside, but when you come on the inside and you see what God has done, there's beauty there. When you come on the inside of the church, there's healing. We look at the outside. It's blowing my mind. I mean, hurting people are on the outside. Lives are being torn apart. Families being torn apart. Hurting on every direction. But let me tell you what happens when you come on the inside. There's healing for your body and there's healing for your soul. There's healing for your marriage. There's healing for your family. But it happens when you come on the inside of the church. Quit hanging around the outside. I said, quit hanging around the outside, standing at the doors, just trying to peek in to see if you can find out what it's all about. You've got to come all the way inside to find the beauty. Not only is there his healing, but there's relief for the stresses of our life. Whenever in my life have I seen so many uptight people. Our jobs are getting more stressful. Our homes are getting more stressful. We're running day and night just trying to keep up. It doesn't take just one income. If you want to live, it's going to take both incomes. Then we got kids coming home from school, going to this, that, and the other, and we're just trying to keep our head above water. Stress on the job, stress in the home. But I want you to know when you come on the inside in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will. It happens when you come on the inside. If you're tired of the life you're living, if you're tired of all the difficulties, it's time to come on the inside and find the rest that you only find in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen on the outside. It may be ugly, but on the inside, there's beauty for those that will come on the inside. Today, people, sometimes you look around and it seems like they're just holding on to the end of the rope. They got a knot there and it looks like there is no hope. But I want you to know, on this Sunday morning, you've come to the right place. There's hope. I said there's hope, and we find our hope in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 says this, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was exceedingly glad. Moreover, my flesh also shall rest in hope. I want you to know you've come to a place where there's hope. You don't have to be discouraged anymore. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, because today you've come to a place there's hope. There's beauty on the inside of the church. It happens when we find ourselves at the foot of the old rugged cross. I know anymore, they tell me, there's some churches they don't want you talking about the cross, Pastor. Don't talk about it. Don't preach about it. Don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about the nails that was in his hands or the stripes that he bore. It's gruesome. But let me tell you something. For those of us that have knelt down at the foot of the old rugged cross, that has had the blood cover our sins, I found a beauty at Calvary. When I knelt down at the foot of the old rugged cross, something changed on the inside of me. Something became real, and I found a beauty in Calvary. Let me tell you, on this Sunday morning, it's time to go back to Calvary. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but it's time to go back once again to the foot of the old rugged cross. And before I leave here, I want God to come. And I want his blood to cover me once again. Once again, I want to go back to the foot of the old rugged cross. There's an old hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid. One of the verses says, oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, it has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. I want you to know there's a beauty that lies there. There's a beauty that lies at the foot of the old rugged cross. Sometimes we get so far from Calvary that maybe sometimes we don't find the beauty that's there. But when you get on the inside of it, you see the beauty of the church and of Calvary. When he washes away your sins, when he takes on those stripes and we have healing for our body and renewing for our soul, it happens when we find the beauty. After the earthquake, my wife told you that we put in a playground. Nothing like this has ever been done. I'm not sure it's at our home, our headquarters complex. And we put it in, didn't know how it was going to work and go over. In Haiti, if they do have a park in the capital, when you drive by, there's no one on it. It's illegal for the kids to play on the playground. Don't understand it. So I put it in, and the staff, they said, well, you can't allow kids to play. I said, yes, I can. I'm the superintendent. One of the benefits of where does a 100-pound or 1,000, 10,000-pound elephant go? Wherever he wants. And I'm the superintendent, and I said, we will. And we start opening it up, and every day, I call them our kids. They come to my home and sit around and play. Sister, if you could start. And these kids, they come, and they're dirty, and they don't smell the best. And I have a weak stomach, but they're my kids. And every afternoon, I go out, and I have our time with our kids. I sit with those kids, and they come, and they all want to cling on me. I'm big enough, they just, I mean, I'll have a bunch of kids, and I'm going to tell you what they do, and please don't take it out of context, but they put bows in my hair. I should really get a picture and show y'all sometime, but it's really a funny sight. And they come and snot running, and they have ringworm. The last 6 months or so I was in Haiti, I had ringworm right here and couldn't get rid of it, because every time I went to the doctor and they gave me medicine, I'd go right back and I'm going to let them hug on me again. There's some people that come and they look at my kids and they say, "Why do you do that?" Well, something happened one day and I got close enough to my kids to fall in love. Plain and simple, I love my kids. Last day I had to go and say goodbye to my orphanages that we help. I didn't want to go because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't want it. My kids came and they gathered around me, and of course the director had them pray, and then they began to cry. And I left with my shirt just soaking wet of the tears from my kids. These dirty, smelly kids I got close enough to fall in love with. If you're here today, would you fall in love with Calvary? Would you fall in love with the church? But I'm promising you something. If you just stand on the outside, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to get committed to Calvary. You're going to have to get so close. Someone said the other night at one of the groups that we have to actually hold on to the old rugged cross. Get close enough where we can even get splinters, and get close enough to hold on and to hug the cross. And when we do that, when we hug the cross and get close enough that the blood falls on us, then we can fall. I wonder if we could stand as the prayer team comes. If you're here this morning, we don't want to embarrass you, and I promise you we will not. If you're here this morning and you need filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, feel free to come over here. We want to pray with you. If you need healing for your body, we'd like for you to stand over here. If you just need just a simple touch from Calvary, just come and fill this middle. I promise you, if you would come here in a moment, the church is going to come with you. Amen. We invite church, would you want like to come up with them so they don't feel bad? Amen. Thank you for coming, guests. We thank you, church, for ministering. Church, would you begin to lift your voice? Let's create an atmosphere. Hallelujah. Lord, in your name.